Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is January the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2025. I hope I've said 2025 in the last couple of days. That's, as we know, kind of sometimes hard to get used to it, but it's here. It is Friday, and we are waking up to the Word of God here on the wake-up call. Let's begin this morning, because I know you're with me in the morning. You know what I like to say? If you want to win the day, you got to win the morning. So let's win the morning here with the Lord. Prayer of consecration. Deep breath. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Abba, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Abba, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, What Word Are You Standing On Today? Our text is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. She was always there. It was like Miss Betty Jane was always waiting on me there in her furniture store on Main Street in my childhood hometown of Dumas, Arkansas. Of course, she wasn't waiting on me, though being with her made it feel as such. Sometimes when you show up somewhere unannounced, people can make you feel like an interruption. There are those rare people who make you feel like you were the plan. Miss Betty Jane was the latter. On every visit, like clockwork, she greeted me with this question. John David, what word are you standing on today? At first, I had no idea what she was talking about. But you know, she wanted to know what word from God, specifically what scripture text, I was staking my life and faith on that day. She always knew the word on which she stood. And rarely would it be the same word she had said before. It had most often come out of her morning time in the Word with the Lord. Upon being asked, she would say something like, Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. In classic spelling bee form, she would cite the verse, say the verse, and then cite the verse again. And my, how she loved Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the whole Bible. She had the most well-read Bible in town. She began every year with a brand new Bible and proceeded to read it through before the year was out. She wrote almost as many words in her hand along the margins as were already written by the hand of God. I'd give anything to have one of those Bibles now. She loved the Word of God because she loved the God of the Word. She would say things to me like, John David, you can't do the will of God unless you know the Word of God. I learned from her how to stand on a word, how to lift it off the page and plant it like a seed in my heart. She taught me to read the scriptures until they were reading me, to keep it on the tip of my tongue, a ready word in and out of season. She trained me to read past shallow learning and into the depths of soul understanding. Outside of my family, Miss Betty Jane was the first real Christian I ever knew. Sure, I knew lots of religious Christians, but she was the real deal. She didn't salute the authority of Scripture like a flag or a creed. She lived it. And because Scripture was her authority, she walked in authority. She had, as it was often said of Jesus, quote, an authority unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. As our little town declined and business after business closed, her furniture store somehow held on. There was a steady stream of people through the doors, but they weren't coming in to buy furniture. They were coming in to see Miss Betty Jane. They were looking for a prayer, a word of blessing or counsel, and more often than not, help with the rent or the water bill. And she helped them. I miss her, but I'll never forget her. I never speak of her that I don't also speak of God and the scriptures. Because she stood on a word that endures forever. Her memory forever endures. She taught me to stand on a word. And now she is teaching you. The prayer for illumination. Father, thank you for Miss Betty Jane and all the people she inspired many of us to remember today from our past lives. Help us to become those kinds of people for others now. Cause your presence in us to create spaciousness for others, like we were waiting for them to show up, like they were part of our plan. Train me to be uninterruptible, ever open to receive your plan for my days. Something tells me that's what people who stand on the Word of God become like. Would you teach me to stand on a word? It will be for your glory, for others' gain, and for our good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 I love remembering Miss Betty Jane. Here's our journal prompts today. Is your Miss Betty Jane still with us? Would you reach out to them today in some way, shape, or form with a word of blessing and gratitude? And then I want to ask you, how are you, or how might you be becoming such a person in others' lives these days? What word are you standing on today? And how is it coming with your new year, new word? Guys, I've gotten thousands of responses so far, but I sense some of you I haven't heard from yet. So please keep those coming. There's a link in today's email. That's the word I want you to learn to stand on these days. We're going to go with this for a lot of miles this year. There's a link in the email. Click on it. Take you 30 seconds. But ask God, show me that word. Highlight a word for me from your word that I can learn to stand on in 2025. We're going to be singing in a minute here from our hymnal. One of the great ones. You could have predicted this one. Standing on the Promises. Five bold verses. We'll sing them all five, of course, in just a minute. Standing on the Promises. Number 434 from our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. As always, I'm putting a link in the email where you can get you one of those hymnals. We'd love to send you one. Standing on the Promises, number 434. Just another postscript here before we sing. I was going through some of my old papers the other day through a file, and I came across a letter from Miss Betty Jane. You know, as in retrospect, looking back, I wouldn't have really known what to call it at the time, but she was kind of a spiritual parent to me. You know, we have our parents and they do our best and they do good. My parents certainly did good in raising me in the church and in faith in God. But we need more than our family. We need the church. And of course, the church isn't the institution. I think that's the big mistake we probably made in the last 100 years is to, you know, to think of the church kind of like we think of the school or just another, not just another institution, but it's an institution doing its part. I'm like, no, the church, it's not another place just to drop your kids off. The church is Miss Betty Jane. And it's people like Bob McQuestion, I think about, and people like C.R. Magnus and his wife Kay, from my years in college, and people like Paul Bedour and Bill Johnson. And I just think about the men and women over the years who've come alongside me in quite everyday, ordinary ways, but they carried Jesus. They carried the Word of God. And that formed me and it shaped me, and they got involved in my life. And you know, Miss Betty Jane wrote me letters when I was in college. Who does that? Well, that's the church. Again, it's Miss Betty Jane. And I want to ask you to remember those people in your life. And then I want to ask you to make the turn. A lot of you have made it and are making it. But start sowing your life into the generations coming behind us, into younger people. Just ask God, bring a college student across my mind, into my path. Maybe someone from my church that's gone off to college that I knew, I watched them grow up. I had a sense of relationship with them. But now I sense the Lord saying, I want you to become their champion. I want you to become their encourager in the Lord, in the Word of God. Start writing them letters. Shoot them a text message every now and then. Give them a call. Take care to see them when they come back for a break. That's really a kind of spiritual parenting, and it's kind of gone quiet as a practice in the church, but it's the most powerful form of intergenerationality that we could revive these days. From generation to generation, the sowing of our lives into the generations to come. So that's just a seed for thought today, and some of you are like resonating with it, others not so much. That's okay. The Lord has other things for you to be engaged in, but if you're sensing it, just begin to start with praying about it, asking the Lord to guide you. Well, are you ready to sing?
I am.
Some of you have been writing me talking about how happy you are to have the hymns back, and I am too. So here we go, Standing on the Promises, number 434. This is one I know that you know.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Last verse. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen.
So good. That's what we're doing, friends. We're standing on a word. We're standing on a promise, staking our lives on it today. Do remember, send me your word, the one the Lord's highlighting for you. Just found myself as I was singing, just remembering another Miss Betty Jane from my life. A generation earlier, at least by age, came alongside me as I was in law school, becoming a youth minister. Margie McKenzie. Oh my goodness, how I appreciate her. I could go on and on. And you know what? I'm hoping I'm becoming one of those kind of people to others. And you are too. You don't know it at the time, what's happening, what's getting planted. But my goodness, it's amazing to behold it years later. Seeds of faith, friends. Well, get your seeds, okay? Speaking of seeds of faith, get your seeds. I'm going to get mine. Got a Holy Spirit story coming tomorrow. You're looking forward to it. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.